Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Texas, let me pause right there. We are supposed to be the great state of Texas, but I wonder if we are the great state of Texas emulating China. But anyway, folks, good morning to the rest of the world. Good morning to the United States of America. Good morning to every nook and cranny that our 100,000-watt transmitter permeates and those people still using FM radios. Good morning to the internet that gives us the reach across the world with listeners just about all over. Folks, we are going to have a great show for you today. We have mucho, mucho para por qué hablar. We have a lot to speak about, but before we get started, remember, today is Aquino Day. It's Thursday. But before we get started, let's go ahead and get our famous geniuses in the studio, the ones that make the permeation of knowledge move throughout infamous, the world.
Yes, I think infamous is about right.
How are my brothers doing?
Yeah, I'd like to start off by thanking everyone who showed up to the Mercantile yesterday, the Mercantile Coffee Shop, for our remote with Clint Broussard. We had... long time running on remote yesterday. A lot of folks came out, had some coffee with us, and just had a good time. So great. To everyone who did that, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And I'm going to defer to Jack because I have no rants or thoughts today because it's one of those thoughtless days.
Good morning, Egberto.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing this morning, my brother?
Well, I was just looking at that UT thing this morning, so yeah. I got a little something to say about it. State police are acting like barbarians as the politicians and bureaucrats create a police state on the UT campus. The student protest was about the genocide being perpetrated on the Palestinian people. The people's free speech rights are under attack as we speak. It looks like a little bit of Gaza came to Texas. Texas, are you going to allow administrators and bureaucrats and politicians to treat your student body this way? This demonstrates that the authorities fear the truth in what the student protest was saying, so they use violence to silence the people. This is how fascism works, to intimidate the people into a state of fear, so the people will lay down and let the fascist walk on them. Turn the page.
Turn the page two.
The truth is, Big Oil is exploiting Israel's stance on the Palestinian, allowing Israel to eliminate the Palestinian and turn Gaza into an oil field.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. And the student protest in Austin, we should be protesting everywhere because, look, we're backing with billions and billions of dollars a regime that needs to go and get out of Israel. Because, look, they're doing the same thing the Nazis did to them. Did they like it? No, I don't think they did. And I don't think the Palestinians deserve what they're getting.
Yeah, Israel's been twisted into what twisted it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as far as U.S. support goes, cut that off. Spend that money somewhere else, like interior roads, communities that are falling into disrepair. We have a lot better things to spend our money on than this garbage. And that's all I got to say.
I agree wholeheartedly, folks. I agree wholeheartedly that we need to stop this. The funny thing about it is, yeah, with all these bombs that we're sending, all this money is another transfer of your dollars under false pretenses, a transfer of your dollars to a group of people right here in America that make military equipment, makes bombs. You know, we can talk about all the problems in China, and you'll hear me, not our administration, I mean, the Texas, for acting like China. But the bottom line is, of course, that we are blowing stuff up. We are taking away people's rights, as China is all around the world. Well, I don't care what their pretenses are, but they're building stuff. But, you know, that's for another day. But today we are honored. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. You know, it's Neil Aquino with some local and otherwise information. Neil, good morning to you, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. Good morning. Good morning, global audience.
So, Neil, I got your two blogs last night. I just read it this morning. And it's funny when I say good minds think alike, because I went to the University of Texas in Austin, and I didn't just go there. I was a full participant in the entire student body, from extracurricular activities to being in organizations, both professional and social and political. And, you know, I was in a group called the South African Liberation Action Committee back in the 80s. And we, you know, when my daughter also attended the University of Texas, I always wanted her to go there. And hey, guess what? She wanted to as well. I think she just wanted to be nice to dad. And she graduated out of the University of Texas as well. Now, here's a funny thing. I used to give her hell that they were a passive folk the 4 years that she went to the university. We were used to having protests on big social issues. We had protests on big social issues. And I felt that they were not, I felt that they were not as engaged as we were. And now we see the kids are really engaged. Those Gen Zs and younger, they're really engaged. And to see what the Texas police, the Texas DPS, the Austin police did to them. I was watching all this stuff on several live feeds yesterday. Right. It was pathetic. Talk to me about your thoughts.
Right. So how long have we said, you know, oh, if only the young folks would get involved in politics, young folks of color, all young folks be involved in politics. Right. But when they do, you know, hey, not like that. Right. And so we have this large group of folks interested in politics taking and we're arresting them, and we're suspending them from campuses all across the country. And of course, it was a little bit of like that, not the arrests, but the denigration or dismissal 8 years ago with Bernie. Hey, get involved. But no, not like that. So we're telling folks to be involved. They do. And these arrests yesterday, by every account that I have read, which is about three or four accounts from Austin, obviously I wasn't there, they were not violent. There was no reason for DPS. And remember, that's the very same DPS, Department of Public Safety, that Mayor Whitmire during his campaign said should come and police the streets of Houston. That's exactly who Mayor Whitmire said should come here.
You know, that is so true. Look, we're talking about the University of Texas and the attack by the DPS on the students there, as well as the Austin police. I think they militarized them as well. But
so that Austin, let me just bring that up, because they were aggressive as hell during the George Floyd protests. We think of Austin and cities. Now, I've been saying this forever, but cities really need to get a control of their police forces, assuming it doesn't really represent their city councils. But, you know, we think of Austin, the most liberal of the big Texas cities. There have been multiple cases. There were prosecutions of Austin police officers during the George Floyd protests. There were issues of collaboration between the Austin Police Department when Art Acevedo was chief, before he was chief here, against Occupy Houston. Yeah. I don't know why we needed that, but there were issues with the Austin police and Occupy Houston. I think they had some undercover. I forget the exact details, but they are very aggressive towards protesters. It is a very aggressive police force in Austin, just like you see in New York.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go. I mean, we have these. Everyone says, "Hey, these cities are Democrats, Democratic cities, overwhelmingly Democratic cities." Their police are aggressive as hell, and
yeah, they are. But now, here's the thing, Neil and Gonzalo. I'm coming to you. Then Johnny. Then Harry. Our phones are hot already, but I want to say, I just want to bring this out for you to think about so we can discuss later. The petty, childish immaturishness of a mayor that refuses to meet with the most powerful politician in our county. Look, it's not the mayor that's the most powerful person in our county, folks. It is the county judge. From as far as the power that they have, it's the county judge. It is irresponsible for Mayor Whitmire, even as she comes out and opens the door and say, "I want to meet with the mayor so we can discuss what's going to happen during this hurricane season." And he doesn't meet with her. It is childish.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It is petty, and it speaks, it talks about anybody who behaves that way for the goodwill of the people. I mean, not in the goodwill of the people, tells you one thing: pay for play. Remember that. Let me just finish. If you are going to behave that way because somebody supported somebody else and you're going to give them the cold shoulder, this is a professional position. This is a position owned by the people. You all work together. I don't care what happens in campaigns. And for him not to meet with Lena Hidalgo, she even attempted to meet him when the president came into town. They were supposed to be in the same room. He ensured that they weren't in the same room together. That is childish. That is immature. And every Houstonian should know about this. But you know what we can say, Neil? We explained that there were different kinds of folks running, the good old boys and then the rest of us. Let's go to Gonzalo. Come on in, Gonzalo.
Yes, good morning, Egberto. How are you today?
Buenos dias, hermano mio. Talk to me.
Yeah, the first thing I would like to address is to the voting of the Congress people for sending aid to Ukraine, Israel, and all the conflicts that we are encouraging highly, and of course, selling weapons. I was not surprised that the big majority of people who vote for it were blue. And I saw the scheme of, the color of each congressman. And most of them were Democrats. The only ones that decided not to vote were Republicans. So I'm wondering at what point, and I'm trying to make my point. I know that you are encouraging people to vote for Biden. But at this point, and seeing the protests of young people who are against the war in Gaza they are not, of course, in agreement with Israel. I'm wondering at what point should I vote blue if we are just giving the chance to those who are pro-war to take advantage of our vote. That's my first thought. And the second thought will be about the police role in society. I know that at some point they could turn aggressive. I think on my side, if I compare it to Canadian police force, I'm just going to give you that example because I have experienced both. And I'm going to give you one example. There was a protest of truck drivers that went to Ottawa, the capital city, to protest, and they blocked the main streets around the parliament. So at some point, the politicians saw that as a threat, and they blocked their not only their bank accounts, but they did their best to strangle the protesters, and in a way to get rid of those things of those people who were opposed to them. So I think sometimes democracy turns shady when people realize that they are not as democratic as they are portrayed. And I'm telling you that because even the police, and we all know that the police is a repressive organization. So it's in charge of keeping the society, people quiet.
To maintain order.
There is some form of violence, they should react. I'm totally against the violence of police when there is not violence on the other side or when they do not counterattack. But these are my thoughts today.
Absolutely. Now, let me take care of the first one, the first thought first about when do you know, we're after the advice that I give it as far as vote in your interest. Look, let me just tell you, there are times in life you have bad options and worse options. You know, when it comes to the young people, I will be doing my best to try to ask. These young people, because they are individuals, to ask these young people to step out of themselves, just like I asked myself to step out of myself, and not look at the vote from an emotional standpoint, but calculate what my vote will do. In other words, figure out if I vote for this person, I extend what will happen. Go through the steps as far as what would happen in our society as we do that. Then I go ahead and say, if I have this vote, what would happen? And when I measure the results, right, that's how I make my vote. And I think that answers the question. Before I finish, I want Neil to kind of chime in. Then I have one last thing to say on this. Neil.
I'm sorry. I missed the caller's point.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry. That's fine because you kind of dropped out for a while.
I was off.
Yeah, that's fine. You dropped out for a while. Right. But anyway, continuing then, Gonzalo. Okay,
Humberto, let me just say it straight. So you talked the other day that Netanyahu is a war criminal. But
yes.
Let's say one thing. If we put Netanyahu at that in that position, and let's just give an example, I want to kill somebody, but I don't have the money to buy the weapon. So I just have somebody who's gonna lend me the money, and that person knows that I'm going to use the money to kill somebody. Am I? Is that person also a war criminal?
I'm not going to answer the question hypocritically. I'm not going to answer the question hypocritically. Yes.
Well, I would add Biden and the congressman who are proposing or who are voting to get our money, our tax money to support those wars, war criminals.
If by
and
definition, they are
straightforward like that. They are.
Gonzalo,
complicity with Netanyahu.
Gonzalo, I am not going to hide behind some sort of convoluted discussion or argument. I'm not going to argue that. You're right. But here's the thing. Here are your choices. Your choices are to currently support a particular a structure that will allow progressives to mitigate that, or a structure that simply will join that. Okay, will join that and expand it exponentially. Look, let me tell you what drives me crazy. What drives me crazy is every single time Biden says, I ask him to be careful in the way he's killing people in Gaza, to be careful with civilians. My thing is, like, there are already 34,000 civilians dead. What the hell are you talking about? At this point, you should say ceasefire or no money. I wish things could work that cleanly.
Exactly.
That's what it should be. It should be that. I don't disagree with you. But that is not what we have right now as occurring. The question is, if I am going, taking my host hat off, if I go to the voting booth right now and I said, I know Joe Biden is currently complicit in what Netanyahu is doing in Gaza. That's a statement of fact. But also, every single congressperson that voted for military aid to Netanyahu without any strings attached as far as what he could use that military aid for, it's also complicit, no less so than Biden. But those, if I also know as a statement of fact that the Republicans who voted against that were not voting against it out of principle, because these are the same, the ones who voted against that are the same guys who supported the people marching in Virginia saying, Jews will not replace us. Remember that. The same people who voted against that bill are the same people who support those folks who were talking, we won't be replaced by Jews. The biggest hypocritical thing I saw yesterday was when Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, went to Columbia University and said that we needed to get rid of the Egyptian president of Columbia University, when he was a part of the insurrection from people who are anti-Semitic. So what I'm saying, Gonzalo, it's a very complex issue when we put this all together. And what you have to do is vote for a pathway, not vote for the person, but vote for the pathway that ultimately can give a changed result. And that sure as hell, in my opinion, cannot be Kennedy or Trump. Because again,
my last question will be, what about if we get at a reset point? So none of the candidates now, either Biden or Trump, is able to get the minimum of college, whatever it's called, college.
Electoral college.
Electoral college. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Trump in the court, because now it's a very serious scenario. And on the other hand, let's say Biden supposedly had a victory when he got the vote for this thing about the war. But let's say that the economy goes back from here to September, and people say, hey, what's going on? The war, we have been supporting a war for more than 2 years. The economy here is not doing well. So none of the candidates will get the minimum vote. So what will
there's a perfect answer for that. If no candidate gets the Electoral College, Donald Trump is president. And here's why. The way that is resolved in Congress is as follows. At the point that nobody gets the Electoral College, it goes into a simple state-by-state vote. There are 26 states that are controlled by Republicans, 24 states that are controlled by Democrats. In as much as there are more Democrats voting for those people, Donald Trump becomes president because each state gets one vote. It will be a 26-24 vote. Donald Trump is president. So what I'm saying is there
let's
is
say
no.
That Donald Trump is not. I mean, Donald Trump is now in court. So let's say that he.
Yeah, my problem is that it doesn't matter because, again, first of all, if Donald Trump is convicted, Donald Trump can still be president. We have a very flawed constitution. Everybody that loves to talk glory, glory, hallelujah about our constitution forgets that it's really not a democratic constitution, and it's a constitution where it was based on the honor of a certain group of men. Okay, so the fact of the matter is it's all lined up that if the Electoral College doesn't make it, Donald Trump will be president. The Supreme Court has already said that we don't really want to mess with Donald Trump's trajectory. I mean, we have to stop dreaming about what I think things could be and start looking at what things are. And it's a messy mess that we all created because we have to go out there and talk to people. What we are doing here, Gonzalo, engagement. In this, we have to let people realize that they matter and let people realize that they have. Look, it's a bad situation that we're in right now, but people matter and their vote matter. And we have to make sure that we clean up the mess that not these politicians created. We created it because we were gullible to elect quite a few of them that shouldn't be there. But Gonzalo, I got to go to the other call. Anything else? Will rapido, mi hermano.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Let's go to Johnny. Come on in, Johnny. Johnny, you're on.
Hey, I trust you can hear me okay.
Yes, sir.
I had a restless night's sleep, and I woke up after only 3 hours of sleep at 5:30. So I decided to get up and go to the radio and retune it from KUHF to KPFT, of course. And I started listening to the conversation that was happening between Lincoln Mitchell, who was standing in for Arne Arnesen, and I was very disappointed in both the monotone of the conversation, and they seem to be talking a bunch of word salad on the topic that you guys started to talk about. Like Magic Jack addressed the situation in Gaza between Israel and the Palestinians people. What these guys were talking about within the last 10 minutes of Arnie's program is they failed to recognize one simple truth. That the young people across this country who are protesting right now in colleges, they're having a very human reaction. They're having a human reaction to all the massive murder of innocent women and teenagers and young children and babies. This is unjustifiable. And instead, what I heard from Lincoln Mitchell or his guest some kind of 5-to-1 ratio, and they're talking defensive on behalf of the Israeli people. When the focus is not on the Israeli people, it's not on Jewish Americans, it's having a human reaction to Netanyahu and his soldiers committing mass slaughter of the Palestinians, borderlining on genocide. And they get tripped up by the word genocide, and they try to make definitions and talk about ratios. This is why they're going to lose the rhetorical argument, because they forget the human element. And I was so angry when I heard that.
I am so glad you brought that, you made it that statement. But before I talk, Neil hasn't said much, so I want Neil to comment on what you just said. I'm pretty sure you heard all of that, Neil.
Right. Yeah, I heard it all. And I just want to, I agree with what the caller said, and just it's very brief. I just want us to be mindful here that police response in Austin and the police response across the country is what we'll see if we are opposing a stolen election or Trump's refusal to concede or mass migrant. So I'm not taking away from the subject brought up. I just want to continue to emphasize for anyone who thinks that this is distant from them, which it isn't, this is what's coming here, and our officials will bring it right here.
Thank you for that. Now, let me address Johnny directly. Johnny, I am, you know, anytime sure. Somebody used the word human when we're talking about what these protests are all about, you know, the reaction from Greg Abbott is, you know, go home and you know, your parents are spending a whole lot of money, to send you to this college, and you're out here protesting. No, your parents are sending you to college to be educated so that we can continue with a human social existence. And I am glad that you brought up. I didn't hear the program, Johnny, but I think that's what people fail. Everybody wants to be antiseptic when dealing with Russia. You know, I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday, but I had Mark Thompson on yesterday. And Mark Thompson, first of all, said the portrayal of these protests on the mainstream media is false. He said it is mostly peaceful. There are some provocateurs that come in there. What I saw in Austin yesterday was the provocateurs who were the state. The state came. I mean, if you watch how those guys marched into my campus, I'm sitting down there having, mm-hmm. I've sat back there remembering how we marched on campus with banners, big banners that told University of Texas divest from South Africa. We were doing the same thing that these kids were doing when they say, Columbia, University of Texas, divest from companies that are maintaining the Israeli genocide. That's all they're saying. The same thing that we were saying and protesting back when I was at University of Texas. And I mean, I had all these screens up with these different kids live feed on. And I am going to be honest with you. I felt like crying because I felt impotent as I watched those criminal war officers from Greg Abbott pushing these kids down and just treating them like animals. We don't treat Netanyahu that way. And Netanyahu is the animal, is the criminal, is the genocidal maniac, is the one that's destroying infrastructure. Go ahead, Johnny.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for pointing the obvious out, because obviously it's not obvious to some people. That needs to be pointed out. You said something that reminded me of not too long ago when Amy Goodman was facing prosecution out in the West when she was reporting on Native Americans fighting to protect against the pipeline. Remember that? And
yes.
While they were pulled outside with the crowd and they were interviewing her, they also cut to an image of a woman holding up a sign with plain block letters saying, "This is not a riot," I believe was the sign. How sad it is that when American citizens who go out and assemble to protest, they have to hold up a sign that says, "We're not rioting." That way it's plain for history to see that they were not the ones causing the trouble, that it was a law enforcement, in fact. You are correct. We are living in a fascist state.
Yeah, I mean, the treatment that our students and every parent that send their kids to the University of Texas, now they should be driving up to Austin if they can make their way there and going next to their kids and going out on the West Mall, the South Mall of Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas. They should be with their kids. If my daughter was still at the University of Texas and I saw that happen, first of all, I would have encouraged her to be there. But secondly, I would be right there next to her having those cops push, and I would be in front of her as those cops are pushing, because they look like barbarians the way they attack those innocent people. Neil's blog at Houston Democracy Project has some links that you can actually see some of what occurred there. Thank you, Johnny. Anything else before I jump to Harry?
One final thing. You mentioned that you as a parent would have liked to be there. And I will dovetail with that. I would encourage any parents, not just in Texas, but up in New York City, for showing up to support their kids and demanding to see the administrator of that college and demand her resignation for kicking the dorm students out of their residence and canceling their meal cards. So in other words, you're making these kids homeless and without a way to provide for themselves, having to scramble to feed themselves. How criminal. This is how we respond to, this is what democracy looks like?
Look,
no.
Let me tell you, a protest is not supposed to be comfortable. You know, everybody, you know, they say, okay, go to your corner and protest. The idea behind a protest is to make people uncomfortable so that they pay attention to what's happening. What happens is Texans are going about their business. Americans are going about their business. They don't know about the bombs falling and the criminality and the cracked skulls of babies and babies dying. The reason, let me stop for a second here. Folks, protests are never intended to be simply comfortable for everybody else. Look at the little protests on the side. We go on with our business. Protest is a way to say, everybody, we are going to make you uncomfortable so that you would understand where your discomfort is coming from. And the discomfort is Netanyahu and the IDF are killing people. Americans are sending bombs. Do you know that? The protest is to say, do you know that? Protests are never supposed to be comfortable for anyone. Thank you, Johnny. Let's jump to Harry.
I get that. Alberto, but push back real quick. I get what you're saying. But in defense of the students, the pushback from the Columbia University president is as blind and as tin-ear as Netanyahu is to the Palestinian people by canceling their dormitory and food cards.
I think you misunderstood. No, Harry, Johnny, you misunderstood me. What I am for protests. And also, not only that, I'm saying protests must necessarily be uncomfortable, because what you're trying to do is bring awareness to issues that people in their normal lives don't see. It is necessary for protests to be uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I was criticizing the administration for kicking them out of their dorm rooms.
And you did the right thing. And it's correct. You're absolutely right. I agree. Got to go to Harry, Johnny. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate your call. Mayor of Politics Done Right. Come on in, Harry.
Good morning, Neil Aquino. Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Howard. And good morning, enlightening El Profesor Alberto Willis. And thank you, Mayor of Politics Done Right. You make people think. I love your passion and your concern. I also enjoyed the good morning to Gonzalo as well. I love his passion and concern. And I'm in agreement just about with everything the two callers that preceded me said about this. And you're right, Alberto, about protests. You want people to think they are uncomfortable. And Alberto, kudos to you, what you did when you were a student at the University of Texas, as far as being in line and getting with those people who wanted to free South Africa and being against the apartheid, against the Boers or the Dutch, we want to say, against the black South Africans. But what I want is go on and say is, let's see, yesterday the video with Mark Thompson, one of the points he made in that video, he said that young people, what are they supposed to do? And I understand your reasoning, Alberto, about how people should vote for a pathway. And the only two pathways we know are Biden and Trump, but people can vote, their conscience can vote for any candidate. You know, I'm voting for Dr. Cornel West because of his his humanitarian stance on Gaza, and I think he can do the things that Biden's doing and be further left. He's most likely probably not going to win, but I can't vote for when I hear what I hear when the Congress passed that bill and Joe Biden is voting, is signing that bill for more weapons to go over there.
Harry, may I comment? Harry, may I comment? Let me comment there, okay? I understand everybody's passionate about, you know, these guys became even more complicit. But I always talk about, we have to understand every vote that we make have consequences. So all I ask folks to do is, you know, I let me just tell you, first of all, there are times that I will vote against my values. If voting against my values means that I save lives, if voting against my values mean that somebody's going to get fed, If voting against my values mean that I am doing better, not for myself, my ego, or because I just can't stand the person I'm voting for, but I'm going to, in the process, help somebody, then I will vote against my values. I cherish humanity. I cherish other things too much to simply look at it like I just can't do it, and I don't feel good voting for this person, so I'm just not going to do it. I look, like I tell folks about the pathway, et cetera. Make a map of what occurs if I vote this way. Make a map of what occurs if I vote this way. And that is the answer.
That makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead, sir.
That makes a lot of sense.
So anyway,
you're right. Pathway.
Harry, I want to go to Steve, and Neil still has a lot that he needs to say.
I wanted to comment on something.
I tell you what, Harry, hold on a second, because Neil wants to jump in a second.
Hold on.
Come on in, Neil.
Go ahead, Neil.
Okay. So let me say, Harry, first of all, in response to your question 2 weeks ago about who do I vote for in your appraisal districts in Galveston County, there are no appraisal district elections in Galveston County. Apparently, there were not enough filers or just one filer in each race. I looked around. It took me 5 or 6 tries, but is no appraisal district election in Galveston County. And I just want to point out, with protest that the police will protest any autonomous. Police will over police and review and scrutinize and spy on you for any autonomous political protest. I want to make that point that they are there gatekeepers and guardians to both parties, and anything you're doing side of normal channels, even if it's 2 or 3 or 4 people, they are aware and cognizant of any autonomous action. That is in many respects when police. They're policing those kids, young people of Gaza and Palestine. They are there to police all autonomous political activity because they're afraid that anything can become something that they're afraid of. And it isn't supposed to be comfortable, and it is not comfortable. If you've protested and you see the reactions of people, they will stare straight ahead, will avert their eyes. That's what the majority of people will do. They won't even necessarily get to the point of evaluating whether they agree with your point or not. They will just, protest is valuable. I think it does move the needle. It is super important. It is there to make you uncomfortable. People have a hard time processing it. It is their normal thing, and it makes them instinctively fearful, almost.
Thank you, Neil. Harry, so I can get to Steve.
Okay, let me finish. Yeah, Neil, you're absolutely right. And but as Americans, it is our constitutional right to protest, and they don't protests are not always comfortable, but it's to make people think. Now, the comment I wanted to make about what Joe said when he was telling you, Roberto, that you think a bunch of MAGA people are all racist. I don't know if all MAGA people are all racist, but I do understand this. I do understand when Donald Trump was saying Obama was not born in this country, and you had the birther and the white America feeling wrong, all that movement. Those are the same people. And these are the same people that their ancestors were listening to Joseph McCarthy, the White Citizens Council, the John Birch Society.
Harry, I got your point, and you're correct. I got to go to Steve, but thank you, my brother, Harry. I will talk tomorrow. Okay, let's go to Steve.
Tomorrow. Have a good day.
Thank you. Come on in, Steve.
Hey, morning, Egberto.
Good morning, my brother. Talk to me.
I love Aquino Day. It feels like I get to feel the dirt and feel a little more grounded because we're talking local a little bit more. So thanks for being on, Neil. I've got a broad question and like a narrow topic if we have time. The broad question is, like, where's the love in politics these days? I see the lust and the greed, but where's the love? Like, locally we had a Hidalgo here, and she had some love, but then she got forced out by lust and greed, it seemed like. On the politics and the protesters, it seems like the young protesters are coming from a position of love and don't kill my fellow humans, but You know, they're trying to be squashed by the police and stuff. And then if we have time, I'll get to my narrow topic.
Okay, love it. Look, I believe in love. I'm with you 100%. As far as Lena Hidalgo and the mayor, Lena Hidalgo, when there's a race going on, people take sides. And when the race is over, the winners have to work for the people. And that's what I saw Lena Hidalgo doing. And I see a mayor that's making himself look very small by avoiding any contact with Lena Hidalgo as possible. Now, let me go ahead and go here. If this were a good old boy that opposed him, I doubt that behavior would be the same. And you know how we know that? Because he always tries to engage Republican males. No problem whatsoever. But here is the most powerful, the most powerful politician in Harris County is the county judge. And that happens to be the person elected, that is Lena Hidalgo. It is malpractice that in a season that's going to even have so much more hurricanes, that this guy won't meet with Lena Hidalgo, even as she goes publicly. And I don't think she should, really. I think if she goes publicly, she should go ahead and call him a petty kid, as opposed to saying, I'm trying to meet with the mayor and because we need to discuss hurricanes, etc. But the mayor won't meet with me. I think she needs to just forget saying that and say, this mayor isn't meeting with us. Here's what we're going to do for the hurricane season, and forget about this guy and show that what he's doing is small. Neil wants to say something, and then I'll come back to you, Steve.
Excellent.
Okay. So he also seems to be avoiding Rodney Ellis. I'm gonna take before we get to 7 o'clock, I'm gonna take the kind words about local politics to make a 5 second plug here. Your Harris County Appraisal District's election is now. Early voting ends on April 30th. Election day is Saturday, May 4th. Harris County Appraisal District election is now. It's low turnout. In position one, Kathy Bluford Daniels. Position two, Melissa Noriega. Position three, Palumi Adelke. Okay, Bluford Daniels, Noriega, Adelke. There are three seats. Everyone in the county can vote. If the one opponents for one of those races is a man who filed one of those election denial suits to overturn the 2022 election, every Republican you elect is one more part of the infrastructure of authoritarianism. These are super turnout elections. Harris County District, Bluford Daniels, Noriega, Adelke, tell your friends, your co-workers, your family, everyone who you know about those elections, and whether you're voting for Jarvis Johnson or Molly Cook in the District 15 to complete John Whitmire's term, vote in those eight races. Daniels, Noriega, early voting ends. The election day is May 4th.
Thank you very much, Neil. Neil, you were breaking up some, but let me just say, Neil, I want to ask you a favor. I put up a blog on your site, please. HoustonDemocracyProject.com, so that I can cross reference that to everybody. And we need to let folks know that they need to vote. We're not even hearing about this on the news. Okay, our fourth estate is not right. Letting you know this on the news because they want to ensure that that property taxes disappears. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about that some tomorrow as well. But let's go back to Steve to finish up. Then we get Chris, then Brian. Come on in, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Egberto. So I have a sister, and she's been voting for our governor and Trump for years and years. But she's a teacher. She's a teacher in Texas. And finally, as of yesterday, she saw the light. I've been dropping little water droplets on her forever. And she's like, well, yeah, we've got so much money in here for education, but the teachers are not getting paid. And so finally she's like, well, let's vote. We got to vote out our governor. So my point, short story point, is even people who are voting for Trump, if like you preach all the time, Egberto, if you throw some information at them, finally they might see the light. And then love to hear a lot more women callers on your show again.
Yeah, we need women. You're abandoning us. Did I do something to offend you? Please call us. Anyway, but Steve, Steve, tell your sister that that she's making the right choice. And again, what you did is the right thing, right? You keep loving on folks and you just give them the information, and eventually that seed, a root from that seed, may just make it in. So thank you so kindly for you doing what you do. Okay. So please remember that.
Have a great run, and hopefully we get more women. Thanks.
Thank you, brother. You have a good one. Let's go to Chris. Come on in, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Gilberto.
Buenos dias.
Hello. Hey, my name is, my name is Chris. The first time caller, and I've been listening to you on my way to work every morning for the past 3 weeks. And I want to say I've been enjoying it, and it's been very insightful. First of all, I just wanted to talk my experience whenever I was in Iraq with the Combined Action Platoon back in 2004 in Haditha, and what's going on with the, I wouldn't want to call them protesters, because now the way I say it, are human rights activists. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say this, because what I'm trying to point with the people, what my experience in Iraq and what's going on with any group, it can be involved with any group, any office or anything that has a group, is there's always a bad apple. There's always somebody that's going to make everybody either follow their ignorance or make them do something, because there's probably other people that don't know what's going on. Like as far as like what's going on in Columbia, the university, we're seeing police coming in and disrupting the protesters and everything. But I'm hearing from the actual activists saying, this is what we're about. We have people here from Israel. We have people who are Palestinian. We're here. We're more involved with human rights. But there, because there's so much people and there's so much groups, that there's always probably going to be one person, a bad apple, that's going to go in there and try to disrupt it for their own excitement or whatever, and probably chant something, because there's so much going on. And then with that, there's probably going to be more following that one bad apple, and then one, because thinking, hey, this is how we're supposed to protest. But I can see now, listening to you, how it's not just about, oh, pro-Palestinian, oh, we're pro-Hamas, we're against Israel. No, it's like you mentioned before, don't mistake Israel as the synagogue or a religion. It's a state, just like here we have a state. We have different parties, politicians. And that's the same thing experience in Iraq. I was part of a combined action platoon. I lived in a police station for a good 6 months. And the police chief there said, all these people, they're all nothing but criminals and thugs. They want to be jihad. They want to claim jihad. They want to claim they're this, the mujahideen. But all they are, nothing but thugs to have no education and no schooling and no job.
Hey, Chris, look, appreciate your words. I got to go because our phone just filled up. But let me just say something very important that you brought up. And you brought up a thing that I should have said before. Those protests are filled up with Palestinians, Israelis. And in fact, at UT yesterday, there were some protesting supporting Palestine as they wore the King of David flag, the Star of David flag. So yes, thank you for saying that. We need to let people know this is a truly, truly a movement on humanity. It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism, etc. Thank you so kindly, Chris. I gotta go. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right, yes, sir.
Let's go to Liz. Come on in, Liz. Line 3.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Liz. Thank you for calling, my dear sister.
Good morning. I was calling because does anyone else find it a little disturbing how so many people are fawning over Mike Johnson for getting this bill passed? Granted, yes, got something done for once, but are people forgetting that he is still an extremist election denier who's a Christian fundamentalist from the South?
If they did, my dear Liz, you just made it clear that you're absolutely right. He is a fundamentalist like these others. But again, you know what's interesting, Liz? The corporatocracy is even more powerful than the fundamentalists, right? Because they forced this stuff to happen. We knew this stuff was going to occur. The defense industrial complex will get its money.
Yeah, and what I just don't get is that if they do bring up the if Marjorie Taylor Greene does bring up the motion to have him removed, why would Democrats even try to save him? Because seriously, the best thing for Democrats to do at this point is let the Republicans eat each other, and that would help out in November, especially Liz, down the ballot, my opinion.
Let me tell you a dirty little secret also, Liz. If two Republicans, right now there's only a one person majority. If two Republicans vote to not support him, who's the Speaker of the House? Hakeem Jeffries, right. So don't worry about that happening. They're not going to make that happen. I can guarantee you that. But Liz, I don't have any time. Go ahead, real quick.
Thank you so much. And just like, you hear people like, oh, he did such a great thing. And it's like, no, he's not a great guy.
No, he's
Please
not.
Please remember that.
Thank you so kindly, Liz, for listening. Thank you for calling. And you are the best voice this morning because you are a woman, the first woman of the day. Thank you so kindly.
Hey.
All right, let's go to Brian real quick. Brian, you got 30 seconds because I'm out of time.
Okay. First off, we have the right to petition and file grievances, but you can't block a highway and say, okay, no, this is my protest. You can't stop someone from going to work. That's kind of illegal. And Lena Hidalgo, Lena Hidalgo was kicked off the Houston area council for not meeting not going to the meetings. And what did they discuss?
Brian, thank you, Brian. Brian, the power lies in how in her office and the mayor's office. We'll talk another time, Brian. I'm out of time. Sorry, my fault for the management. Thank you, but let's go to Ted real quick. Ted, you got 30 seconds, no more, no less.
Okay, well, I just want to remind everyone, I'm really upset that all these college students are protesting for people who murder homosexuals and abuse women. I'm talking about the Arabs that live in the Israeli area. And, they have 160.
That's your 30 seconds, Ted. I get it. I get where you're coming from, Ted. Call me back tomorrow because I'd love to discuss what you just said. Call tomorrow, but I'm out of time right now. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. Neil, give me a closer real quick.
Very good. Don't forget HCAD elections. Early voting ends the 30th. Election day is May 4th. Houston Democracy Project, HoustonDemocracyProject.com. Give it a look.
All right. Studio.
Nothing from here.
Jack.
Nope. Nothing here.
Okay. All right. Anyway, folks, my name is, first of all, please go to politicsunright.com/newsletter, politicsunright.com/newsletter for all that we didn't cover that was in that newsletter that we were to cover today. My name is Egberto Willis. I want to thank Neil Aquino from Houston DemocracyProject.com. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics and Right, and you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.